Welcome to the Master Your Health podcast. I'm Amanda Meixner, aka Meowmix on Instagram. I'm a healthy lifestyle nutrition expert. And today I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, my business partner and my fiance, Chris Racchio.
How's it going?
Today we're chatting with Jen Esquer, aka Doc Jen Fit on Instagram. Jen is a doctor of physical therapy, and her love for movement came at an early age, starting from her early years in gymnastics and moving on to becoming a Pilates instructor. Today, she inspires more than 500,000 people on her Instagram page and is truly committed to helping you learn how to relieve pain, prevent injury, and optimize through movement. Most importantly, though, you can tell in person that she really practices what she preaches.
Oh yeah, I mean, she's just so positive. She just radiates positivity, and you can tell in the delivery and her final message at the very end, the way it ties it all in to, you know, it's not just the idea of being mobile and being active and fit, but it's also, there's a mindset that goes along with it, you know. But as far as the mobility aspect and her specialty, I mean, it's just really a great reminder to not be sedentary, to move around, to change positions, and to kind of just keep playing with our bodies and listening to our bodies, because the sedentary lifestyle and, you know, most of us hunched over our computers all the time, or it's just not conducive to being mobile and being healthy and optimizing the way we're really built to be. So yeah, I highly recommend listening to what she says. It's very easy to do. So yeah, I think you guys will all enjoy it.
And I'd like to officially welcome to the show, Jen. Look at her smile. She's ready to go.
Thank you.
So, you know, to start off the show today, I wanted to ask you, you know, have you always been an active person? And then based on that also, what kind of got you into mobility specifically? Because I feel like it's so specific and, you know, you see trainers online and nutrition is very common, but You're like the mobility queen.
I know.
Where did that
somehow
come from?
Got termed that. I've been termed many things along the years. For me, active, like I've been active my entire life. My family has also required that growing up we be in a sport. So I found gymnastics early on. I tried everything. I tried soccer, hated it. I did dance when I was like 5, tried to revisit it and then didn't like it. Tried softball. I've tried everything. Gymnastics was my thing. Did it for 9 years. Quit when I was like 16, or retired, as I like to say. Yeah. And then kind of just always fell in love with movement from there. Found Pilates, knew that I liked anatomy a lot, wanted to go into kinesiology for undergrad, not really sure where I was going to go after that. But then once I started interning as a physical therapy assistant and an aide, I really found like that was probably going to be my path. I loved looking at how a physical therapist would watch movement and feel movement with their hands. And I'd always be like, what are they watching? It's so cool.
You're like such a little nerd.
I am. I really am. I'd be like, but why am I taping an ankle for gymnastics? And why am I modifying this movement for Pilates? So I just like continued to go down that path of like wanting to learn more and understand the body more so that I can help other people. And I loved coaching, but that wasn't enough for me. I liked teaching Pilates, but there was still like always that aspect of like, but why am I modifying movement and how could I help them around these injuries and stuff like that. So that's why I just wanted to continue to dive in and really learn and understand. So that's really like activity has just been part of my life. We always had a boat growing up. We went snowboarding every year. We went wakeboarding every year. I'm just blessed with an active family, and that's been a lifestyle. And I'm seeing my nieces grow up in that lifestyle as well, and my nephews, and it's just a way of life, which nice. I think is beautiful.
Yeah, but it's awesome for people that don't have that lifestyle that you're able to share that with them on Instagram. I mean, the way you can move your body, I'm just like, wow, maybe one day, maybe after I take your course.
But I don't know if you're going to be doing handstands after my mobility course.
So I guess for people listening, you know, kind of what is the definition of mobility? And, you know, like, you know, my questions that come to mind are like, what's the difference between mobility and stretching and like things like that?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. Like my Instagram started to grow while I was in grad school, just naturally through the community that I was meeting. I was meeting the calisthenic guys down in Venice. Started to become a part of the aqua yoga community. And this was just like kind of like my escapes and my hobbies from grad school. And naturally, just my Instagram started growing, being around that community and other people who had followings like 4.5, 5 years ago. And so I just started kind of being involved in that way. And then once I graduated, I almost took a step away from social media because I was like, okay, that was a cool hobby. Now I'm done.
Right.
And then my friend Vinny from up in Canada had said he was already getting started in the rehab world on Instagram pretty well. And he was like, well, why don't you just start educating the way that I am? Like, people think you're a yogi. That was my term before. I was Jen the yogi. And I was like, I don't even teach yoga. Where did that come from? Upside down. That's where it came from. And so once I started educating, I would post like, okay, based around this injury, here's mobility that you can start with. Here's corrective exercises. Here's some strength. And it would always go down this like path. I would do like a week long of like mobility, corrective exercises, and then some strength training elements as you got further down like along that injury pathway. And what people always gravitated toward though was the mobility.
Right.
And I think it was because I can do mobility so well within my own body that it really fascinated other people in terms of what that looked like. Mm-hmm. And some of it looked like passive stretching. I would say that's still part of mobility. But what kind of makes it different than flexibility is that you're not only maintaining that passive aspect. Mm-hmm. So I think passive stretching is not bad.
Right.
Nothing is really bad. It just depends on why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And when you add in an active component at the end of passively stretching, that's where it becomes that active mobility, that dynamic portion that actually becomes functional. Because now that I can hold it and maintain, like, so instead of just laying on your back and lifting your leg into a passive hamstring stretch, now can I stand up and lift that leg above along gravity? Mm-hmm. And that becomes that active component that we term mobility. And that's where it becomes functional to say, okay, can I lift my leg up while I'm hiking and like grab something? Can I trip and reach across somewhere and not pull something? Mm-hmm. So being able to be mobile within your body is being able to take that passive flexibility and actually make it into an active component that becomes mobility.
There you go. That's why it's mobile. It's mobility. It also seems to be like a lot of similarities to yoga. I mean, considering your name was once Yogi. Yeah. So do you think yoga is just taking an element of mobility practice, kind of?
I think it depends on the teacher that you have. I know a lot of my yogi friends, some of them dive a little bit more into the active component. So they won't just have you like do down dog, stretch one leg up and then step in front, but they'll actually have you like hold it in front. Like don't put your leg down, like hold it up toward your chin before you step down. So they'll actually hold into those active components, and that makes it a little bit more in line with mobility. And some people don't like that. Like some people want to go to yoga and just like passively open up and stretch and feel good. And there's a whole mental aspect to yoga that I think is beautiful. And that's why people more so, I think, should be focusing on yoga practice because of what it does in connection to your body and your breath and mindset more so than even just
the mobility aspect.
Yeah,
definitely like the moving meditation aspect. Mm-hmm. But I love that, you know, you get kind of like the science behind your mobility. All her photos are like, you see half the anatomy chart and then you're like getting down on it. So okay, so if someone wanted to first start their journey on mobility, like how do you suggest they weave that into their routine? Or like, you know, is that before they work out? Mm-hmm. You know, where does that kind of fit into a routine and maybe even your routine?
Yeah. I mean, and bottom line is like we need mobility not only through life, like reaching up and grabbing things or stepping up or tripping and falling and catching yourself. Not only is it functional in that way, but if you want to lift more, you want to squat lower, like you want to do these things, you have to have mobility within your joints and along your muscle fibers and nerves and everything in order to be able to achieve those things. Mm-hmm. So that's where, like you and I were talking about before, like mobility and strength actually play a role together. It's not separate. And I still hear that all the time. Like, well, if I'm going to get strong and lift a lot, I cannot do mobility. And I'm like, no, actually, you should be doing mobility.
Well, and actually, the lack of mobility can actually make you force you to do the rep in the wrong form. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have the mobility, a lot of people think it's always hip and a squat, but it's also ankle mobility that prevents people from getting into that ass to grass position, you know. And so there's always that misconception of that it's just, you know, one hip or one joint that's messed up or that kind of thing. But
As far as how you would tell, and like, because you work with athletes, right? As well, or
across the board. Okay. I would say, honestly, I mean, I've worked with like Olympic athletes to just people who aren't yet moving in mm-hmm. their body or have stopped because of chronic pain. So kind of across the board, but mostly weekend warriors, I would say.
Okay. Okay. So
wait, what's warrior again? What is it like?
People... It's like you're working all week long and then you get in the gym and you go really hard. Oh, or okay. Like you're going to those like Spartan races or mud races anything like that.
That makes sense. Injury prone. Mm-hmm. Got it.
So if you were working with an athlete that didn't want to sacrifice performance, and so he's, you know, you're trying to get him to warm up or him or her to warm up at the beginning of the workout, mm-hmm. what kind of thing what kind of routine would you take them through?
I like starting people with just jumping. And like really? Bouncing within the body. So we don't even think about how fascia is, mm-hmm. which is, we like to think about it like the connective tissue overlying everything. There's actually deep layers to fascia. I mean, we could move around our skin at the top and that's our superficial layer. We can go down to like around the muscle, around the fascicle, around the fiber. Like we go really far into what fascia actually is. But beyond that, it's filled with fluid all throughout our body as well, right? And in order to get our fascia to not be so stiff and to kind of wake up our fascia and get things bouncing and moving again, mm-hmm. Actually just like standing up and kind of bouncing on your heels is one good way. It gets your lymph moving, it gets your fascia awake, and it can actually help to turn on and stimulate your nervous system before you're going to start activating muscles or even stretching into muscles. So I would say bouncing is like a quick way and just letting everything go loose, which sometimes we don't like to do because we don't want to see things jiggle, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll do it. I'll bounce a little.
But I'm like, be a kid again sometimes. Like let your arms like flare and go crazy and like let your body release. Like how often do we do that? Mm-hmm. We're usually so structured in how we have like, oh, moving this way and everything is so stiff and we work and we're stressed and we're doing all these things. So if we can just allow ourselves to like really release mm-hmm. and let your body flow again, I think is so, so key. So just starting with like a minute, 30 mm-hmm. seconds of bouncing. That's why rebounders can be really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I've seen you on one of those. We need to get that.
Would like jump roping, is that too rigid?
I would say that's still too rigid.
Too rigid, okay.
Yeah.
Because I know that, you know, back in when I used to run track and I was a sprinter, and that was one of the main things my coach was always saying is like, loosen everything yes. up, bounce there yes. and be kind of like Gumby.
Yeah.
And that was what I always try to manifest, that Gumby mentality. So that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't help my mobility, but
still at least starting with that. Right, yeah. Exactly. Get that fascia stimulated in that way. Yeah. So I like starting with that. And then I would say going into what are the movements that you're going to be going into throughout your workout, like, and start thinking about that. So if I'm going to squat all the way down, how can I start to open up my hips first then? So that's where foam rolling can come into place along with mobility work, where what you're doing is you're actually just, again, stimulating your mechanoreceptors. So directly underneath your skin, we have mechanoreceptors that feed up to our brain. They respond to touch, pressure, vibration. That's why some of those vibrating foam rollers and Theragun things become, people are obsessed with them. We're not breaking up scar tissue. We're really just stimulating the nervous system, and we're stimulating things to kind of relax mm-hmm. rather than release. Mm-hmm. And when we can do that, we actually start to, again, stimulate things, open it up, make your body feel more mobile, more agile. And so if we can start with that kind of thing and then go right into like an active mobility, I don't think passively stretching is not going to be a huge detriment. Mm-hmm. But as long as you add in an active component right after. So if you're going to do a 2-minute stretch, which I'm sorry, 10 to 30 seconds isn't doing much for you anyway, so go ahead and hold that statically. It's not going to get much carryover really into the body. I would say passively holding at least 2 minutes is key. And then, you know, go into an active component. So whether that's you're just stretching and then you try to hold it off the ground, or you try to push into it, or something you're doing that kind of adds in an active, or you're trying to go from side to side and kind of wake it up a little bit. So, I mean, hard to verbally say mm-hmm. without a visual, right? But But there's so many different ways, and there's not like one way is better than the other. It's just, it's what is working for your body. And you, and that's where I think exploration becomes really powerful as well. And just gaining awareness of what our body needs in general, because there's not a 12 step to mobility. Every body has its own restrictions based on how you stood all day long, based on what hand you use all day long, what foot you step with, what foot you stand on more often throughout the day. Like, we all have our own unique little things that happen within our body, which is why there's not, like, I don't put out programs that it's like the back pain program or the shoulder pain program, because really shoulder pain, back pain is a symptom of something saying there's something wrong in your body. But that's not, if we're only focusing there, we're missing a huge picture of your actual whole body. And there's no one size fits all plan. I don't believe in that. I believe that every body is unique and should be treated as such.
No, I think that's great. And I guess, like, listening to keys in terms of, like, are your hips tighter? Like, do you feel like you're hunched over all day and all of those things? But then I think that's cool how you approach it, because even maybe, let's say, your shoulders are the tightest, it sounds like, all right, let's work on that, but also let's just work on your whole body, because we don't want to neglect everything just because one place is a pain point.
Yeah. Well, I like to also give a visual. Like, it's a super easy visual. It's not like gold, but it's a really cool thing for people to start to learn and visualize. If we go joint by joint in the body, we can look at, so this is the joint by joint approach. I don't know who originally, I did not come up with it originally.
Someone's getting
but
cred.
it's a really cool way of just like starting to get an idea. And it's like, if we look at the three areas that should kind of be most mobile, that we will need mobility in order to move and function better, is going to be the upper back or your thoracic spine, your hips, and your ankles. But now the areas that people complain of pain most is the neck, shoulders, back, knees, and feet with plantar fasciitis. So those are the areas around all of those areas. So that's why if we're only looking at the pain area, we're probably missing if something's not moving well above or below that area. So, like, for example, back pain is in the middle of what needs to be mobile hips and what needs to be in mobile upper back. So if one of those aren't moving very well, well, that could be the problem that you're having back pain. Or maybe your back is using more mobility or getting more motion or activating more when it shouldn't be, because you're not moving well through your hips or your upper back. So it's a really easy visual for people to start to say, oh, actually my body functions as a whole, not in parts. Or even if, you know, big toes, for example, if we lose our big toe mobility, then we're not, and every step that we take, we need to be having adequate extension at our big toe. Say we don't have adequate extension and we start rolling to the side and our foot starts to turn in. Now, every single step you take, you're turning your foot in. Well, how do you think that's going to play up the rest of the body? And we use our feet as our foundation. So if we think that that's not going to have effect on your shoulder, you're a little crazy.
Oh, yeah. I had a buddy, who just had the those corrective soles. That just, all he did is change his feet, change the corrective soles. And he said his legs were sore for 2 weeks because just the way that just him just steadily working on them, walking on them more and more. And then he couldn't even walk after a couple, after a week. And then it took him about another week to like die down or whatever. But it was crazy. It messed him up. You know?
Yeah. I mean, the way that our feet function, it's everything. We're using them all day long, and I don't think we give credit to them enough. That's why foot massages are okay.
Oh,
at the end of the day.
Pass to get a massage.
Exactly.
Only foot, though? Can I get a full body?
You can get a full body. She needs a full body.
Always. Yeah. Once.
Hi, babe.
Once a day. No, I mean, with I bet you do see, even though there's the individual component and everybody's different or whatever, but I'm pretty sure you see pretty commonalities in terms of like hunched shoulders, you know, which actually is more of like a tightened pec minor muscle or something like that, or you know, like very bad posture issues or anterior pelvic tilt, you know, things like that. So with our modern lifestyles, we see more and more of those kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Like misalignments.
Yeah.
You know?
And I like looking at that more as a place that we're playing into the nervous system on our on how our days are going. It's not necessarily like, yes, we're sitting in chairs, yes, we have technology in front of our face, things like that. But I don't think it's necessarily a problem of digging into hip flexors in order to open up your anterior pelvic tilt. I think it's more of like we're adding more stress into our life and not getting enough relaxation into our lives. And so if we don't tap into that parasympathetic, that rest relaxation, and we're always tapping into that sympathetic, that nervous system, it's just kind of always in a heightened state. And what we do is we end up breathing from our chest. And when we breathe from our chest, like up and down so much, we end up kind of coming into almost like your back coming up. And what is that going to do in return? Your hips are going to go forward. So now we're not breathing well from our diaphragm. We're breathing all the way up, tension into your chest. You know, we complain about upper trap pain, neck pain, headaches, all these things, rounded shoulders, need to dig into my hip flexors. When really, you just need to chill out. I mean, but really coming back into like, how can I get my breath to move more effectively? How can I actually start to train into my diaphragm, which we still don't understand, because, you know, most people say, oh, diaphragm means belly breathing. I'm just going to push my belly in and out, which is not right. And I've had many clients who come and I'm like, well, that's a talent, but that's not really belly breathing. I mean, that's not really diaphragmatic breathing. We're not actually maximizing our systems. And when we get our pressure system, which works all the way from our neck and our like our TMJ jaw muscles all the way down to our pelvic floor. So when we get this whole pressure system working better, that's where alignment comes back in. And that has a lot to do with our nervous system and just getting out of this like stressful state as 24/7 and tap and being able to tap back into that parasympathetic a lot more often throughout the day.
Wow, that's some good advice. If there's anything to take from this podcast, it's chill out more. Absolutely.
Well, think about how you are when you are stressed. Your shoulders are up more, you're tense, you know, things like that. And, and that's just automatically sending you, like sending the wrong signals.
Exactly.
Creating the wrong habits, all those things, you know? So
it's crazy to think that something as simple as breathing the right way can contribute to like mobility and all these other things.
Exactly. And pain. But we don't think about that. Like, so I like to say, like, think about it. If someone scares you, you like kind of like breathe into your chest and everything gets really, really tight. So imagine living in that state all the time where everything is like super tight. Of course, you're never going to like touch your toes or be able to improve your mobility. Because if you're always in this tightened state and this stressful state, your body's always turned on to say, oh no, we're in protective mode. We have to guard. We have something's wrong. Something's not okay. And you're always kind of like tight. And also when we're always in that stress, we're releasing more cortisol, we're heightening our sensitivity to pain within our nerves. So that's where chronic pain can come from. That's where headaches and neck tension and all these things. And we think we need a massage, and not that you don't need a massage, that could help you chill out, but it's also not going to be the cause.
Right. Wow. Well,
that makes a lot of sense. Because I mean, because when I had, I know it's completely a different issue whatsoever, but as far as the pain, and I had my tattoo on my side, I actually had to get into like this meditative state to ignore the pain. And then the person at the front desk came and she was showing a potential customer my session, you know, and it was pissing me off that it was messing with my session. So the more I got mad, the more I felt the pain. And it took me like another hour to get back into that mindset again. So that's really crazy. I never even knew that, that cortisol had that connection.
Oh, it 100% does. I have people that, I mean, the first thing that I work on with people is just getting them to tap into the breath and how they're breathing in their bodies. And when we're able to tap into just that, I've had people just cry on my table and they don't know why they're crying. Sometimes their pain completely goes away. And sometimes they're just like actually able to relax for like the first time. Like we don't realize how much tension we're holding on, and our and we're trained and programmed that every day all like we're hustling, we're going, we're creating, we're moving, we're doing. And even if we chill out, it's like, are we really fully relaxing, or are we like still under this pressure of all these things I have to do, my to-do list, my things? And like now, especially like we're trying to improve, but it's like, here's what my perfect morning routine has to look like. And here's what, like, that's only going to add stress.
I know it's like a hard balance, because even getting into health and fitness, you know, and all the like wellness hacks, and you start adding on more. And like, you know, at one point it was about rest and relaxation, and then you add on so much stuff, and then it, like, you kind of lose it. I have to remind myself to go back and chill a little, right, don't I, Chris?
You remind you, like, constantly. I have to remind you. You don't do any reminding. I'm the one who reminds you.
He's like, Okay, you just need to chill for a little.
Yeah, but I mean, we all need those little reminders. Yeah. Like, it happens to all of us, and we don't even realize. And sometimes when we have that neck tension, or like if we're complaining about first rib problems, think about that, what that's translating like in your body as well. Because if your ribs are elevating up toward your neck, that is, again, a sympathetic state. Mm. So if your body's trained to go there regularly, mm-hmm. like, that is more of a nervous system reaction. I mean, everything is a nervous system reaction, let's be mm-hmm. real. Like, touch, what physical therapists, what chiropractors, what anyone is doing to you, no one's fixing you. We're just talking to your nervous system. Mm-hmm. And if we can talk to it on a regular basis and get you to tap into it on your own, that's where the true fixing and healing comes from.
Right. I mean, that's kind of an across the board concept in terms of the parasympathetic nervous system, because mm-hmm. it affects your digestion. Mm-hmm. It, you know, your digestion will pretty much shut down, or at least slow down, when mm-hmm. you have a bunch of cortisol running through your system. Because think about it, your body is perceiving this outside threat to your life, even though it's has no threat whatsoever to your life in these modern day circumstances. It's like you're late on a deadline for work or whatever, you know, and it's so short term, but your body doesn't differentiate that from, you know, being hunted by a saber-toothed tiger. You know, it's the same mechanism. And mm-hmm. so your body's just prioritizing survival. So you guys just have to remind yourself that it's not a survival situation, and you mm-hmm. need to chill out mm-hmm. and take a deep breath and get that parasympathetic going back in. But as far as going back to, you know, like your clients and how you would mm-hmm. tell people to practice, what would you say in terms of a daily practice? Like, how much mobility work in terms of like getting into a deep squat mm-hmm. or like, you know, sitting in a static position, let's say like a half pigeon or something like that? How much of that a day do you think is good to really see some improvement?
I relate it to like brushing our teeth. We brush our teeth every day, takes 2 to 3 minutes, but we do it on a daily, twice a day. Mm-hmm. Usually.
Hopefully.
Sometimes I forget to floss. Don't tell my dentist. I hope she's not listening. Yeah.
But yeah, we're taking care of our teeth on a daily basis, twice a day, sometimes more. And that doesn't take much time. But we're doing it as a preventative manner. Shouldn't we be addressing our bodies the same way?
Right.
Probably.
So all it takes, like, and I always say it as a way of like, what is actually going to be realistic in your life? Like, are you going to be able to add in one quick thing to do before you get out of bed? Can you set little reminders to get out of your desk once an hour and do a quick stretch behind your chair? Can you remind yourself while you're waiting in line at the grocery store to start playing with your feet or moving your hips or whatever it may be? Like, we can add these in little tiny components, and it doesn't have to be like, I don't ever promote an hour long mobility routine. Like, I'm not doing that. I don't think you're doing that. It usually like is something like, can we pick our two main restrictions and do that before we work out? Can we pick our two main restrictions and do that after we work out? So we start to like just add in little bits throughout the day, and that's where it becomes really important. And then I like to say, how often are you getting down on the ground? Because actually, in cultures where they are able to get all the way down on the ground and pray and then get back up, they have lower risk of osteoarthritis within their hips. And they're actually putting their joints in full flexion. And we don't realize how much we're not doing that. Like, in modern American culture, you know, it's sitting in desks, sitting in chairs, sitting in cars, sitting on couches. And we have improved it by going to standing, right? Mm-hmm. Desks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the real improvement is getting that desk to go all the way down to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Lie down to stand desk. Are you going to invent it? Yeah.
No one's going to want to buy it because it's going to take more effort. But
because well, even the standing desk can create problems if you're not sitting, if you're not standing there properly, if you're sitting in, if you're just, like you said, leaning on one leg and mm-hmm. you got one hip pushed out and you sit there for a half hour, that's going to be the same thing. It's going to create some imbalances the same way that sitting would.
Yeah. Any static thing for long periods of time. That's why we just need movement. We need more movement in our lives. Even sitting in a chair, like, okay, you might cross one leg, but you pull it up. Like, I usually, this one's a little smaller, but I usually sit like I'm sitting on the ground. Like, I'll sit mm-hmm. cross-legged. And I just want to encourage people, like, get down on the ground, because there was also a study done where if you can't get down on the ground and get back up without using assistance, or if you just can't do it without your hands and your knees and using assistance, it can take off. There's a, what is the exact statistics? It's like, it can take off 6.5 years of your life, I think. Really? Something that's like crazy. That.
I believe that.
I might be saying it wrong. But it does have a definite correlation to the longevity of our life, mm-hmm. based on getting down on the floor and getting back up. But just think about that. Like, if you're losing mobility, you're probably becoming more inflamed. You're probably not eating very well. You're probably not putting, like, it all correlates. So mm-hmm. it's not just about getting off the ground.
Well, right? Yeah. And also, if you think about it, if you're not mobile like that, you're most likely not doing too much physical activity, right. And physical activity correlated to lifespan, things exactly. like that. So it makes sense, you know?
So you're like lying down and you can't use your arms or hands. You kind of just
have to. You want to try it right now?
I'll try after this.
You get exposed.
We'll do a couple rounds. I can't do it. She's a pig. No, I'm just kidding,
one thing, but. Because I'm probably one of the least mobile people, is that I always find that for people that like to train and are focused on performance, I always I basically will start my mobility as whatever my first movement of the workout is going to be. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take that through its full range of motion and kind of hold a squat, but always keep it dynamic, never static stretching, and then do my static stretching and heavy mobility work afterwards, because you'll find you're way more open. Like you said, the fascia's loosened up or whatever. You get a much deeper squat into it. So if you're a little bit discouraged in terms of whenever you're starting off your workout, or whenever you're just starting in to get into this because you are so tight and you can't do anything, then just do a workout, move around a little bit, and then go through your movement patterns, and it'll open it up that much easier.
Totally. And like, if you have an animal, like, get outside with them. Like, nature is one of the most healing places that we can be in. Mm-hmm. And roll around on the ground with them. Rolling patterns, also something we used to do way back in the day when we were kids. Mm-hmm. Necessary in our body. Like, it helps to reprogram things. So start, like, go on the ground, sit on the floor with your kids, like, do whatever it is that kind of takes you into different positions that we're not used to being in. But don't just go from sit to stand, like, it's or and then right into a workout, you know. Mm-hmm. Get on the ground.
I don't have an animal, but you'll see me rolling down a hill in the dirt. And if anyone asks me if I'm crazy, I'll be like, no, Doc Jen Fit told me to do it. So I'm doing my mobility work. I'm just like doubling down the hill. That sounds fun to me. I'll do it.
So do you have a YouTube channel that like shows people different movements to go through and things like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of my stuff is on Instagram, where you'll find like just quick little minute routines that you can dive into for your body. But I have translated that into YouTube videos as well, so people can get, like, I'll talk some things through, mm-hmm. in terms of why and how and all that stuff. Like, my main thing is empowering people back into their own bodies. I don't fix you as a physical therapist. You fix you. And any good therapist, no matter it's a chiropractor or anything, acupuncturist, we're facilitating the pathway to your own healing. But that's your own journey, because no one else can do the work for you. You really have to put it in yourself.
Yeah, she has tons of good videos on Instagram for sure. Yeah. I watch them. I just need to apply it now. Now they're like extra motivated to do this more often.
Yeah, I got lots of saves on there. I wonder who's actually doing it. But sometimes I'll like walk down the street or be in an event and people will be like, oh, I implemented that one video and my shoulder got better. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing.
No, I'm sure. I mean, and also, you know, you post so much and whatever. So it's that repetition. You know, by the third time you see the video, you're like, all right, I should do this. She's telling me to do this. I should do this. So what does your current routine look like right now? Like, what are you focusing on? And all that.
Yeah. Man, it's all over the place. But really, I'm focusing on, I love accountability for working out. I love like when someone else will come to my gym and I'm like, I'll make the routine. You just come to me. Because it helps me to like get out of bed in the morning and have a partner to work out with. So I love having girlfriends come over to my gym and we do a little workout together. But I always start off with like a little bit of breathing, a little bit of some type of movement, mobility, whether it's even shaking something out or doing a little bit of mobility. And then I always do my coffee in the morning because I love my coffee.
Me too. I'm all about that.
And then I try to get my workout done early in the morning. Sometimes it's late, but I try to get it done early. And then just, you know, trying to push content like you.
I know. Oh, my God. You're on top of it. I, like, see her on every other podcast. I'm like, what? where she's got time like Beyonce.
Doing the rounds?
No, she's killing it. I mean, I think, you know, there's not, like, I mean, you would know more than me, but I don't see a ton of mobility experts on, like, around. So I think, like, you're really crucial in that space. And it's something really unique you bring to the table. And I'm clueless about it. Now I know a lot more. Now I understand a bit more. Yeah. So
just trying to bring people back into the foundation. We forget about it. But it's like the same way of like, it's literally a developmental stage to be able to put your toes in your mouth at 5 months old before you're able to walk or crawl. Mm-hmm. So if like, think about those kind of movement patterns, like even crawling, it just requires more strength and more complexity. And you have to have that mobility prior to crawling. So it's the same thing with our bodies. If we're wanting to get into the gym and work out and exercise and do it and be addressing your foundation, because at some point, typically something's going to be like have fallen down and we've lost some kind of restriction within our body. So just being able to come back down to that foundation, which breathing, I would say, is step number one, and learning how to breathe into that diaphragm properly and get into your body. And then moving into that mobility and what's been restricted or neglected within your body, your own individual beautiful body, and then moving into that on a daily basis. It's just, it's going to help everything grow, and you're not going to have pain and injury in the long run. Like, doesn't that make sense?
I love it.
So do you practice PNF stretching at all?
Yeah, there's lots of different forms of everything. And I would say...
What's PMF stretching?
PNF.
See, I don't know this.
It's kind of like a way to dynamically stretch before a workout, because the whole thing is that there's been research showing that whether you're weightlifting, sprinting, jumping, if you just static stretch before you do those things, then you could actually decrease your performance and actually and possibly injure yourself or whatever. But if you do these things cold, you can also injure yourself as well and decrease performance. So they introduced more of a dynamic style stretching called PNF stretching. So you would just ease into it. So it's a constant like lengthening and then easing off. And then, so it's just kind of like that, but it's not so much, I wouldn't know whether or not it's strictly a mobility thing. That's why I was asking if that's more of your
it all plays a role. Easy way for people to understand it is just you're taking this stretch and you're adding some kind of contraction or isometric hold to it. So it can either be like you bring your leg up into a hamstring stretch and then you push against the strap and you turn on that isometric contraction and then you stretch into it again. That's a form of PNF. It could also be you're adding some resistance as you go into the stretch and as you go into the opposite way of the stretch. So it's just contraction. A really popular form out there of like kind of a blown up PNF model is the FRC, functional range conditioning from Dr. Spina. And that's, he just takes it to the very end range and then does the contractions and the holds and everything at the very end range. So I think, you know, all of it. And it's like, you don't have to get too fancy with it. Just know that you can passively stretch and that's safe and good for your body to do. Even if it's before a workout, like it's not, you're still going to move before you work out. So, I would say it's not that bad. And then just tapping into those active components. So maybe you passively stretch and you should be passively stretching for at least 2 minutes to actually get proper carryover and the proper elastic stretch that we want within that tissue and release the tension and all that. And then adding the active component. So whether that's a contraction through the range, an isometric hold in the middle of the range, an isometric hold at the end of the range, whatever that may be, you're adding that active and you're kind of firing up those receptors deep within the joint too, and telling the body it's safe to go into that full range of motion. It's safe to contract in that full range of motion, and just teaching the body a new way to talk to itself and be able to move.
Nice. Yeah, that's one of my one of the things I've been actually just recently looking into. So I'm glad you like really laid that out there cleanly. And Amanda didn't know about it, so that's perfect.
Learn something new every day. So I guess the last question I kind of want to end on is, if there's one area of life you think people should master first, which I feel like I know the answer, but what do you think it should be?
I'd say listen to your body. We spend all day long listening to other people and we say you're worth listening to, but I don't think we do that enough for our body. So know that your body is worth listening to. Like in every area, your body is worth trusting, your body is worth listening to. So no matter what people are hammering into you, whether it's exercise, diet, who you should be with, whatever it is, like listen to you. Because you have the answers. And when you actually take the time to listen to your body will tell you what makes it feel more energized, what makes it feel better, what makes it feel less painful, less bloated, any of these things, like your body will tell you if you take the time to listen.
That's some incredible advice.
That's right a beautiful there. Thing.
I couldn't agree more. So if people want to find your videos, they want to find you, where do they go? And then also, I know you have like a program.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear like a little bit about it because yeah. I mean, it just aligns everything. You know, obviously if you want to learn more about mobility, your program's the answer.
So DocGenFit across the board, DocGenFit, Instagram mainly, but it's happening to YouTube now too. So definitely get involved there. And Facebook. And then my program, so I have the mobility method. This one you actually have to do some work. So there's a self-assessment component that you get to figure out what you need for your body. And that's all mobility related. And then I have the Optimal Body, which is a membership, and people get into mobility flows, core workouts. So what is actually the core and how do you function that properly? And then functional strength training. With like some functional HIIT workouts, putting your body in different ranges of motion that you didn't really used to do in a workout, and also adding in some mindset tools in there too. So
crucial.
Awesome. Man, well, it was so great having you on. Like, honestly, you really Thank do you. Practice what you preach. And honestly, your presence makes me feel more relaxed. I just started breathing deeply. I lost some tension during this podcast, and I hopefully listeners take away some of the tips you gave.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jen.
Thanks, guys. Bye.